I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm tired of hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Arch Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio. This is show 83, often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks. And yes, we have a show for you today. We had to try real hard just to get it to fit on the two discs. You remember I told you last week we're going to try to do smaller shows? Boy, it's hard to do, because when I get in the mood to do some radio, I just can't shut up. And now this issue, got to warn you, there are some laughs in this issue, but it's also very bloody. Why is it bloody? Well, we beat up the pig boy. We slap him around. That was a lot of fun. We're going to beat up O'Reilly a little bit, but it's mostly beating up the ignorant monkey. He did a press conference this week, and he told, by my count, 309 lies. And I only had room for about 150 of them in this issue because he just tells too many lies. There's too much to refute. The internets couldn't hold all the lies and all the refutations that I could offer to them. So, since we're low on space, let's get right to it. Going to start off with a shot of Chinoco. Oh, and this is the fancy Chinoco, too. Boy. Oh, boy. How about that? It's like having a whole bunch of fruit to just explode in your mouth. Oh, I like that. Okay, no time to tarry. Here we go.
This is www.barkcup.com.
Gonna do. Yeah. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Good morning. Yesterday I nominated an outstanding individual.
But Monkey, in what way is she outstanding? What has she done on her own? Isn't she a lot like you? Hasn't she always been appointed to her posts?
To serve on the Supreme Court of the United States. Over the past three decades, Harriet Myers has built a stellar record of accomplishment in the law.
No, she sat next to your desk while you played video games and probably did your work for you. That's not a stellar record of accomplishment.
I know her character. She's a woman of principle and deep conviction.
Speaking of convictions, how many felony convictions do you have, George? Karen Hughes let us know there was three, but when the reporter said, so three is the total number of times you've been convicted, she said, this interview is over, and no reporter has had the balls to ask that question in the last 5 years. Why is that? Why is it that we had to know every girl Clinton ever glanced at, but we don't need to know how many felonies our president has been convicted of? And you know, it might be a little different if the press in the United States didn't go to sleep when they got their orders. They've never done any digging on George Bush. We have no idea what kind of man we have in the White House. We don't have a clue. No one's ever vetted Bush. He's just been always given a pass his entire life. He's never had to earn anything, never had to work for anything. And it also might be different if Bush had actually been elected by the people, if people knew what they were getting and made the choice, then it might be different. But no, we don't know anything about him, and then he was appointed to rule everybody, even the smart people.
She shares my philosophy that judges should strictly interpret the laws and the Constitution of the United States.
But George, you're not making any sense. The whole purpose of a judge is to get into the unforeseen. If I write a contract with somebody and it rains that day and neither of us can fulfill our contractual obligations, Well, we didn't write anything about rain in the contract, so we're at an impasse. So we go to a court. We ask a judge to decide. Now, what do you mean you want him to interpret the Constitution strictly? What's the opposite of strictly? Loosely?
And not legislate from the bench.
Okay, so let's try to guess what the monkey's thinking now. I think what he's saying is if Congress passes an unconstitutional law such as no Negroes in Oregon, then the court should be honor-bound to uphold that law and screw the Constitution.
I appreciate the reception that Harry has gotten on Capitol Hill.
Hey, guess what, Georgie? Maybe you're still stuck in that bubble, and maybe your advisors haven't told you, but you're not getting a whole lot of applause for this, well, except from the Democrats. Your base is pissed at you. Bill Kristol's pissed at you. Buchanan says you're an idiot. A whole lot of people don't like this lady, George. All she is your friend. That's all she is. And that's not good enough. Because your judgment can't be trusted. You've proven that with 9/11. You've proven that with Katrina. You've proven that with the Iraqi war. You've proven that every time you make a decision, George, you ought not to be there. You can't run a fry station at McDonald's.
You said a few minutes ago that you're proudly conservative, but there was a lot of hand-wringing when you made your nomination yesterday on Harry Myers. Bill Kristol said he was depressed and demoralized, and Rush Limbaugh said it was a nomination out of weakness. What do you say to these critics specifically, and how can you convince them that that she is as conservative as Justices Scalia and Thomas?
I guess I'll start over. I hope they're listening.
Listen to the arrogance drip off of this unqualified bastard. He said, I guess I had to repeat it. Like, he already said she was qualified. That means the conversation's over. There's nothing to discuss. He already said she was qualified. And so why would anybody question his judgment? Case closed. There's never been anyone this arrogant in politics before.
First, she's a woman of enormous accomplishment.
You know, apparently in monkey land, if you just say it over and over enough times, then it becomes true. I know that works with the American whore media and their protection of this man, but it doesn't work in real life, George. You can't just say she's qualified, she's qualified, she's qualified, and somehow the heavens open up and God reaches down and touches on the top of the head and qualifies her. That doesn't work. Well, I'm sorry, it works in monkey land.
She's...
Listen to the bastard smirk. They don't get it. They don't hear me. I already said she's qualified. What's wrong with him? Why would they ask a second time? They must be stupid.
I expect the Senate to conduct fair hearings and to hold an up or down vote on Harriet's nomination by Thanksgiving.
Once again, the Republicans changed the rules. And why did they change the rules? Because the Democrats didn't mind. I remember there was a gay fella who Clinton wanted to appoint to be the ambassador to Luxembourg. And Jim Inhofe, also known as Senator Pisquick, the most embarrassing bastard in all of Oklahoma, he let it be known that he would filibuster that nomination, so that meant it was just off the table. There was not going to be an up or down vote. It was just off the table because Jim Inhofe was going to filibuster. And the Democrats said, oh, okay. And Clinton had to back down because his party wouldn't stand with him. But now that the monkey gets in, now he demands an up or down vote. Clinton never got that, but it's okay. The Republicans just changed the rules because they can. Now think about it. If you could walk around town and just change the rules, you know, it's okay to rape women on this block. I think that blonde over there needs raping. I think I'll rape her just because I want to, just because I can change the rules. That's what the Republicans are doing. And the Democrats are saying, okay, how is this possible? How did I get stuck in this party of weenies? It doesn't make any sense. And the worst part is, again, just like poker, when you let them change the rules and you say, oh, okay, then they change the rules again. And then, of course, the Democrats say, oh, okay, and so they change the rules again. And pretty soon they're just going to make it illegal to be a Democrat. And the Democrats will say, oh, okay, Harry Reid can get behind that.
you doing here?
That man on stage is my client. He asked me to come here.
Why did he ask you here?
They won't let me sing War, that's why. It's my trademark song. I'm Edwin Starr. Good God, y'all.
Well, technically, Johnny, you're not. Edwin Starr is dead.
But I'm his nephew. I've inherited the rights to his library and his likeness. For stage purposes, I'm him. And what is Edwin Starr without War?
Why won't they let you sing it?
Oh, they consider it anti-American. And it's not just here. I'm getting it in Cleveland, in Detroit, Bakersfield. It's starting to happen everywhere. You hear that? They're singing it themselves. They still think I'm coming out to do it as an encore. And when I don't, they're gonna go home disappointed. It's killing my act. God, y'all!
Louisiana today officially ended the search for bodies of people killed by Hurricane Katrina. The death toll in the state now stands at 964. In the New Orleans area, there's still a long way to go to restore vital services. That includes housing. FEMA says that it has plenty of trailers, but in most cases, they're nowhere near the people who need them. Here's Sharon Alfonsi with the inside story.
Now you see.
Their home is gone. Now Wilson Julian wonders what's next.
This neighborhood here, I don't know if it's going to come back or not.
400,000 displaced residents are still living in hotel rooms. But in less than 2 weeks, the vouchers they've been paying with will expire. Red Cross officials fear that when the hotel program ends, shelters will surge. More than 5 weeks after the storm, and many of the housing options promised by the federal government have failed to materialize.
I hear a gentleman in Washington say that Louisiana's folks are dysfunctional. It's pretty obvious to me that they're dysfunctional.
Kevin Davis is the president of St. Tammany Parish. For 4 weeks now, he's been asking for trailers to house the 30,000 residents here who lost their homes. FEMA has them. They spend $1.5 billion buying trailers to house Katrina victims. But the trailers Davis needed, well, they were in Baton Rouge, and FEMA hadn't been able to deliver them to St. Tammany.
I had to, of Wednesday last week, ask my citizens in St. Tammany Parish to follow me to go get the trailers ourselves. We've had enough.
But right before residents took off in their pickup trucks to get the trailers themselves, FEMA delivered, sort of.
They brought in 300 on Sunday.
And how many did you ask for?
We probably need somewhere around 23,000.
Davis says FEMA should just deliver the trailers and let the residents hook them up on their own property.
It's a hose. I mean, most of us have gone camping in our lives. You give my residents a trailer, they'll make it happen.
Looking at the line of empty, stationary trailers here, one resident remarked that FEMA seems to have taken the mobile out of mobile homes. Sharon Alfonsi, CBS News, Slidell, Louisiana.
We here in Washington have got a vital role to play in the recovery and reconstruction efforts on the Gulf Coast. I've made that clear. I've also made it clear we must do so in a fiscally responsible way.
Mr. President, did you just use the phrase fiscally responsible? You know, you've spent more money than every president combined.
Congress needs to pay for as much of the hurricane relief as possible by cutting spending.
Monkey, 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 what are we going to do with you? I realize you have no idea how the government works, but guess what? Congress has no money. All Congress can do is spend the taxpayers' money.
I'll work with members of Congress to identify offsets to free up money for the reconstruction efforts.
Well, George, most of America agrees, even probably a majority of your party, agrees that the best, fastest, quickest, smartest way to do that would be to roll back those tax cuts, those hundreds of billions of dollars that you gave away to anybody who was already rich. So someone's got to pay for Katrina, so it shouldn't be the super rich that got a few extra billion for no reason, right, George? No, you want the little people to pay for it. And how are they going to pay for it? With their sweat, you son of a bitch.
I will ask them to make even deeper reductions in the mandatory spending programs than are already planned.
Mandatory spending programs, that's Washington talk for Social Security and Medicare. So if you're old and you can't afford medical care, knock it off. And if you paid into Social Security for 60 years and now you want to retire, well, we're sorry. Bush's super rich friends need those extra billions. How greedy of you to want back what you put in. How greedy of you. Bush has borrowed money from the Saudis and the Chinese to give to his billionaire friends. This is after the fact. It's already been done. Now we got to pay that money back. And on top of that, now we're going to have to pay back the Katrina money he's going to borrow. And he's going to keep borrowing more from China and the Saudis. Remember, the Saudis are who attacked us on 9/11 to give to his billionaire friends. What the hell's wrong with people that we put up with this? What's wrong with the Democrats that they don't speak up?
I call on members to make real cuts in non-security spending.
And why did he say non-security spending? Because the security spending is what they're stealing. After they're stealing $100 million a day, they're saying, hey, don't take it out of our pile. Don't try to take a piece of my pie. Sons of bitches. They're stealing all that money.
Congress needs to provide assistance to states and local school districts.
Local school districts?
That have taken these children in, whether the schools are public or private.
Translation, we're going to give your money to the churches. We're going to tax you. We're going to put a gun to your head, and that's as fucking literal as it can be. If you don't pay your taxes, armed men will come to your house with guns. They will take you away and throw you in a cell if you don't pay your taxes. And what are they going to do with that tax money? They're going to give it to the churches. They're going to take my money. They're going to take Bart Kopp's money and give it to the religiously insane so they'll vote for him. Son of a bitch.
So I've outlined a set of policies to attract private investment to the affected areas.
That's another lie. If I'd have done this a little smarter, we would be counting the lies. I'll bet he hits 100 before this bid is over. But what he's going to do, just like with Iraq, he's going to turn all this over to Halliburton. And what they're going to do, they're going to say there is $200 billion worth of damage in the Gulf area. So what Halliburton is going to do is they're going to take that $200 billion and they're going to keep about half of it, and they're going to hire smaller subcontractors with the other $100 million. And if shit goes wrong, they're going to say, well, the people of Louisiana, they're just not too bright. They're just not so good at handling stuff. And if everything goes well, there's no reason to get into what if everything goes well. Besides, the $200 billion estimate, that's the estimate. It's going to come back at $600 billion. Because any time this, it should be one of Bart's laws, I should put it on the list. Any time the government gives a dollar figure as an estimate, you immediately multiply it by 3. And if it goes longer than a couple of years, you multiply it by 6. But you always, always multiply by 3 minimum before you get started. So Bush has another opportunity to throw hundreds of billions at Halliburton so it all gets funneled back. And nobody cares. Remember, we had $5 trillion in the bank when he took power. Now we're $4 or $5 billion behind, in the red, $10 trillion missing. And when you say, Bush, where'd that money go? He says, well, 9/11. What he's implying is that they spent that $10 trillion to make America safer, to put us in a position to respond to a catastrophe. We saw what happened with Katrina. That's where $10 trillion went. It sat there and watched TV while the darkies of Louisiana starved. That's where $10 trillion is, watching TV. No, Bush stole it all. It's all gone. He wants you to think he spent that money on defense, but where the hell was defense on the 1st of September? That son of a bitch. Does nobody care? $10 trillion, and that's just what they stole just in the Treasury. Boy, you start looking at that other money, the mortgage areas, the pension areas, the $130 million a day they're stealing from Iraq. They've cornered the market on gold. Think what gold's done since the son of a bitch. When things get unstable, gold goes up. So do you think things are going to be more or less stable when the guy that owns the most gold gets in? Please?
He is, the president is, what is the word I'm looking for? Incompetent.
It seems to me, and again, I don't mean that as a slam.
No, that's in the best sense possible.
In the best, I mean that in a good way. But for instance, we had Hurricane Katrina, and he did not do so well in the aftermath. And so what he called for was a day of prayer.
Right.
And if that's your plan, because as far as I know, and again, I believe that a hurricane is an act of God. So he's already made up his mind on the issue. To come at him with a day of prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to say on that day? Dear God, hey, nice hurricane, you know. So meanwhile, after the day of prayer, 3 days later, we get hit with Hurricane Rita.
Right, yeah.
My feeling is someone must have said something.
Yeah.
Someone must have said in the day of prayer just something along the lines of like, is that all you got?
Yeah. And what about, you mentioned Texas. What about your buddy Tom DeLay? What's going on there?
He is a man of supreme integrity, and I find these charges shocking. And I can tell you this. I see it in his eyes. His eyes say innocent. His mouth says not guilty. His hair says, what do I have to do to put you in a LeSabre today? That's what it's... What has happened to the president? Were you watching the speech where he went out and he said, are you all right? He said, the president is urging Americans to conserve. This president from Texas, the oil man, is saying we should conserve. It'd be like Smokey the Bear just one day coming out and going, hey, kids, do you like fireworks? You know. That's all I got. You want more? I got a couple more. I'll bring you a couple more.
All right, the Daily Show. How many years have you been doing the Daily Show over there at Comedy Central?
38 years.
38 years, ladies and gentlemen, bringing fine entertainment into your home, Monday through Thursdays at 11 p.m., Comedy Central.
And you as well. What a pleasure to see you. And all the things that I said that night at the show, I say to you. I do hope you realize at some point how much this show and you have meant to all the...
Thank you very much. John Stewart, ladies and gentlemen.
John Roberts, overwhelmingly supported to be Chief Justice. Why did the process work? President Bush consulted with 70 senators from both parties before choosing Roberts. After testifying for 22 hours, even Democratic senators called Roberts brilliant. Many Democrats are putting principle above politics, voting for Roberts. Urge the Senate to continue putting partisan politics aside, hold fair hearings, and give the next nominee a fair up or down vote.
Yep, it's just like the Democrats to be nice and vote for whoever Bush wants. And what will it get them? In the next election, they're going to be morphing Patrick Leahy's head into Osama. And they're going to be morphing Joe Biden's face into Osama. That's what they get for cooperating with this bastard president. They keep making the same mistakes again and again and again. And they're always shocked when they lose the election.
People come to hear you sing as Edwin Starr, even though you're not the real Edwin Starr.
Yes, and mainly they want me to sing war.
Mr. Emmerich, what's the big deal?
Look, we get upset with the world for not joining our war efforts. But how can we build a coalition abroad if the American people at home don't seem convinced?
So Americans have a duty to shut up and look convinced.
We live in different times. It's my club. I choose to support our country. This song doesn't.
Let's hear it.
What?
I want to hear it here.
In court.
2:00 tomorrow. Adjourned.
To encourage small business development and to help workers in need get back on their feet.
Helping workers get back on their feet. No, that's not what you did, George. First thing you did was you did away with the prevailing wage law. That means you don't have to pay even minimum wage for this kajillion-dollar cleanup. So you know what that means? That means you've got, say, 1,000 darkies. And, you know, they live poor, so all this has worked out pretty good for them, is what his mother said. But you got 1,000 guys standing in front of you. It's 104 degrees, and they need money desperately. They have no jobs, they have no home, they have no clothes, they have no food, they have nothing. So you got 1,000 darkies standing there, and you got a rich white guy ready to hire a bunch of people, but he doesn't have to pay even minimum wage. So what's he going to do? He's going to say, who wants to work for $4 an hour? Stand over here. And maybe half of them go over there, and then he'll say, all right, of you half, who of you would like to work for $3 an hour? And some of that group is going to move to the left. And he's going to look at that group and say, tell you what, I'll give you $2.50 an hour, and you can work in the air conditioning. So what choice do they have? They can walk to New York and look for a job, an uneducated black man is going to walk into New York and ask for a job. Or the uneducated black man can walk to Seattle and maybe go to work for Bill Gates designing software. Perfect. You know, this is all they got. God, I hope I can keep this together, but what's it like to have fucking nothing? And then have the president come in and say, since you got nothing, since you don't even have a t-shirt, you don't have a toothbrush, you got nothing, and I'm going to arrange for you to make $2.50 an hour. Son of a bitch. And nobody cares. That's okay. Democrats are happy with it. Trent Lott's happy with it. Haley Barbour's happy with it. They're all happy with it. It's just fine.
The storms that hit our Gulf Coast also touched every American with higher prices at the gas pump.
George, I'm counting now. That's lie 81. Sure, Katrina might have had a bump, but Katrina didn't put $7 billion in one quarter in just Exxon's pocket. Just Exxon. $7 billion in one quarter. And it's all profit. That's not because of Katrina. That's greed, George. There's a difference between a disaster and pure Republican oil greed. It's just not the same, George. You can say it is. You can pretend it is. But it's not. Again, it'd be nice if a Democrat would mention that.
They highlighted a problem I've been talking about since I've come to Washington. We need more refining capacity.
What we need is more restraint on the oil company greed. But just for the point of argument, let's say we do need more refinery capacity. Where have you been, George? You're the president. You got a Republican House. You got a Republican Senate. So where's the new refineries? What are you waiting for? Are you trying to say that the Democrats have filibustered against more refineries? Is that what you're trying to tell us? Did the Democrats really do that? Did they filibuster against new refineries? And that's what the problem is? You say you've been talking about it since you got there. Why don't you quit talking and do something if that's true? Which I don't think it is. Funny, we were drowning in cheap oil when Clinton was president. As soon as the oil man got in, prices go through the roof and we lose 2,000 guys in the desert. How is this possible? Could it be Republican greed?
This country needs to build more refining capacity to be able to deal with the issues of tight supply. We haven't built a new refinery since the 1970s.
George, explain how tight supply put $7 billion in profit in Exxon's pocket in one quarter. That's $28 billion a year. Pure profit. And you cut their taxes to nothing. And on top of that, you gave them a shitload of extra hundreds of millions on top of that. They're drowning in hundreds of millions of dollars. And cheap oil.
We also got to continue to make sure we meet our obligations to prevent further terrorist attack. One of the most important effective tools for safeguarding our country is the Patriot Act.
Clinton didn't have to restrict people's rights to protect America. He did it with good old-fashioned law enforcement and little detective work. You see, Clinton didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars per day because America was going through a crisis. He was more interested in keeping us out of a crisis, but every time we get into a crisis, like 9/11 has made you billions. The Iraqi war has made you billions. Katrina is going to make you hundreds of millions by the time Halliburton's done. Every time we have a disaster, Bush gains hundreds of millions of dollars, and it ought not to be that way. It's Bart's Law number 2. Anytime a person or company makes a whole lot of profit because of a mistake, expect that mistake to happen again and again and again. Every time we get hit, Bush gets hundreds of millions of dollars more.
This good law allows law enforcement officers to hunt down terrorists with many of the same tools they already use to fight organized crime and drug dealers.
Yeah, and it also allows Tom DeLay to track some missing Democrats in the state of Texas. He abused that law. That's what you guys do when you have power. You abuse it. You can't be trusted.
We'll be right back with Bart Cotton Radio.
What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? You chuck it on that one. You chuck it on this one. You chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your...